recorder. All right, so I'm... Okay, so let me just give you the opening spiel, and then we'll start talking. So it's June 19th, 2010, at 9:30 a.m. My name's Chris Seifer. I'm with the FCIC, and I'll be interviewing Mr. Scott Polakoff today, formerly of the OTS. Mr. Polakoff, or Scott, I'm with the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. We were established by a statute passed last year called the Fraud Enforcement and Recovery Act that tells us to figure out the various causes of the financial crisis. That statute also tells us to look at institutions that failed or would have failed but for the receipt of exceptional government assistance, and so that's why we are looking at AIG. That statute tells us to look at the role that derivatives may or may not played in the crisis. That's another reason we're looking at AIG. And that statute tells us to look at the role of regulation in the financial crisis, whether it's the OTS's regulation of AIG, the OCC's regulation of various entities, the SEC's regulation, et cetera, et cetera. So the fact that the OTS was regulating AIG is the reason we wanted to talk to you. So thanks for taking the time. Before I start asking you specific questions on AIG, could you just give me a summary of your educational and work background since college?
Sure. So I have a bachelor's degree in accounting. I graduated from Westchester University in 1982. I joined the FDIC in 1983. I worked with the FDIC from 83 to 2005 and then joined the OTS in November of 2005.
Okay, can you give me just sort of the brief progression of the positions at the FDIC?
Certainly. So I started out as a field examiner in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I progressed to a review examiner in Dallas, Texas, then a special assistant to the executive director in Washington, D.C. Then I moved down to Atlanta as an assistant regional director, then to New York as a deputy regional director, and then to Chicago as a regional director. And I was a regional director for the FDIC in Chicago for 8 years before joining OTS.
Okay, and when you joined the OTS in November of 05, what's your position?
Chief Operating Officer.
Okay, and that's in D.C.?
Correct.
Okay, does that position change at all, or is from the time that you're at OTS?
I was Chief Operating Officer the whole time. The responsibilities of that position were fairly constant during my tenure there.
Okay, and when do you leave the OTS?
I retired from the OTS in July of 2009.
Okay.
And I suspect, but I should tell you that if you're not aware of the events surrounding my eventual retirement, I was subject to an OIG investigation for a bank in Florida that injected $50 million from the holding company into the bank and recorded the transaction by recording it in the prior account recorder. So it's frequently called a backdating issue, although there's a lot of events surrounding this that are very misleading to the public. But regardless, I think it's important for me to at least disclose to you that there was an IG investigation. Ultimately, there was no finding of wrongdoing, and I was provided an opportunity to retire from the government.
Okay. I appreciate that, and I did at least know generally about it. But thank you for bringing it up. Okay. So tell me generally about your involvement with AIG, and then I'll follow up with some questions.
So my involvement pre-crisis was limited to an enforcement order that OTS issued against one of the affiliates of the AIG bank. And the reason that I say my involvement was rather limited up to the time of the crisis was we had a structure in place where the regional office had responsibility for examining institutions, and then we had a section in Washington, D.C. that was responsible for the large complex organizations like AIG, and then there was a head of supervision who oversaw all of that activity, and that head of supervision reported to me. So there were multiple layers between the institution, the examination of the institution, and me.
And that organization in D.C., is that the Complex International Organization Division?
Correct. It was headed by C.K. Lee at the time.
Right. Okay.
Right.
So the way, in terms of an org chart, Mr. Lee is in charge of the CIO and he reports to you.
No, he's in charge of the CIO and he reports to Tim Ward, who was the director for the examination division, and Tim Ward reports to me.
Okay. And then back in this time frame, you're reporting to Mr. Rich?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so when you say pre-crisis, your limited involvement had to do with this enforcement order. What's the time frame on that generally?
I mean, literally from the time. Oh, are you saying the time frame of the enforcement order?
Or yeah.
I don't recall the timing of the enforcement order. I'm going to estimate it was maybe 2006 or 2007.
Okay. And again, what did that have to do with? Did that have to do with one of the thrifts or actually the holding company?
It had to do with an affiliate of AIG Bank that was making home loans, and the OTS found that there were deceptive practices associated with the home loans. So we entered into an enforcement action with the entity, not the bank, but the affiliate of the bank. We entered into an enforcement action with that entity and required certain forms of restitution.
Okay.
And that's all. I mean, the folks at OTS should be able to provide you with all that information. It's all publicly available information.
And I think they have, and I think we've actually seen it. I just wanted to make sure I understood that this was the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was essentially the affiliate mortgage broker originator engaging in predatory lending practices?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so tell me about your involvement with AIG, since you designated that as pre-crisis. I take it your other involvement with AIG is during crisis?
That's correct, Chris, although I should even separate the crisis element of it into two important segments. One is the actual liquidity crisis that involved AIG, and my involvement in that was very limited. There was at least one discussion between the Treasury Department and John Rich, albeit brief, suggesting that they were getting information, the Treasury Department was getting information that there was a liquidity problem at AIG. And they talked to John Rich about that, and then literally the crisis hit where the Federal Reserve had to step in and lend money to AIG. So I'll call that the first part of the crisis, Chris, and my involvement was very limited. In fact, I would say my involvement was limited to the one phone call that I observed between John Rich and Treasury Department. The second phase of the crisis.
Let me stop you for a minute. What's the timing on that phone call, just so I can place it?
I would say that phone call occurred within a couple days of the infamous weekend where the Fed had to initiate the lending mechanism.
Okay, which was That was September 16th, 2008. So right around
Correct.
That time frame.
Correct.
Okay.
So my real involvement with AIG from an intimate knowledge perspective, Chris, unfortunately really started with the need to testify before Congress in 2009 about what happened at AIG. Before those series of hearings, literally staff and key members of staff were involved at AIG, but it was not something that was really in my portfolio to focus on. There were a lot of other things, as you know, going on at the same time.
Right. So let me ask you about that then, given I don't mean the March 09 testimony. I've read that, at least the written submission that you made and your opening statement. I didn't read the entire, however long that transcript is of that hearing. But let me ask... Go ahead.
I would say, Chris, if you have available resources by your staff, I would suggest reading the transcript. It's I think, a very insightful transcript.
Yeah, I think folks other than me have read it. Okay. I've read your testimony in it to prepare to talk to you, but I haven't read the entire transcript. But I do have it, and I'll probably take you up on that and read it.
But I think it would be good reading for someone.
Yeah, yeah. So then let me ask you, generally, given the reporting relationship here, and I know if we were to go, below Lee, you've got examiners, at the OTS that are out there doing the AIG exams. What kind of information are you receiving, if any, just on the supervision and examination of AIG in the 2005, 2006, 2007 timeframe?
Very, very little, Chris. I mean, I'm relying on my staff. C.K. Lee was very involved in the oversight of AIG. He participated with supervisory colleges, with regulators from other countries. He was the point person for AIG. Anytime he encountered a problem or an issue, he should have referred it up to Tim Ward, who was the director of supervision. Side by side with C.K. Lee was the regional director for the New York region, who I'm sure you know is Mike Finn.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the process was supposed to have worked was Mike Finn and his examiners actually did the examination work, and then C.K. Lee and his staff in Washington, D.C. were supposed to be the check and balance, the oversight, the bigger picture kind of folks, so that you had the examiners who sometimes can really drill down, but they don't always have the luxury to horizontally see the big picture. But they were supposed to be doing their job, and then C.K. Lee and his staff were supposed to be doing their job, and everything was supposed to percolate up to Tim Ward.
Right. All right. Okay. Now, I know from talking to other folks and reading your March 09 testimony, and frankly somewhat from when I used to be at the OTS, that at least in terms of the CIO organization, you guys would come up with and I'm trying to find it in your testimony, but an annual supervisory plan. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Were you involved in the formulation of that?
No, I was not involved in the formulation of it, nor was I involved in the approval of it.
Okay. Is it? Let me ask you this. Is somebody in your position, whose Ward reports to you, Lee reports to Ward, do you get involved when problems arise, basically? Is that when you get alerted to stuff? Is when something important is happening or something needs to be dealt with?
Correct, Chris. So, the way we had the organization structured is, and I'm sure you know this very well, so Tim Ward had the supervision area, Tom Bowman had the legal area, Wayne Leese had the information technology and the finance area, Bart Shykoff had the legislative area, and these folks were experienced and, quite frankly, well compensated and smart and had the responsibility to run their areas. And then I had regular meetings with them, and I relied on them to bring up either the key issues or the troubling issues. So it would be literally impossible for me to get involved with even the higher profile day-to-day operations of some of the large institutions. And that's why we had the examiners and the regional director and his or her staff and the people in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
They're all expected to do their job.
Right. let me ask you a couple of things to sort of just broader, not just AIG related, but more, you know, how the OTS supervised and examined holding companies in general, and specifically, you know, the complex international organization type holding companies. I read in your written statement, in the March 09 written statement, that it sounded like at the OTS, because back in the day when I was there, one, I wasn't doing complex holding companies, really. I was doing small thrifts, and the focus of the exam was, does the holding company have the resources to essentially recap the thrift, you know, if necessary? Is it a source of strength? Are there not affiliate transactions going on, and things like that? And I thought I saw in your testimony that, you know, thrift focus changed, or at least expanded or evolved over time because of Graham Leach Bliley, and a lot of these institutions becoming conglomerates. And that was actually one of the reasons for the CIO program. Can you just generally, you know, tell me if that's correct, and describe how, you know, monitoring and supervision and examination of complex international organizations changed or evolved over time?
So, yeah, Chris, I would be happy to. And my description is going to differ a little bit from the way you described your understanding of it. So hopefully we can synchronize our thoughts.
Sure.
The OTS's approach to holding company supervision was to identify the risk profile of the holding company onto the insured depository institution, and to identify whether the holding company could operate as a source of strength to the insured financial institution. So said another way, when the examiners went in to examine a holding company, the examiners typically focused on what activities the holding company might be doing that could increase the risk profile of the insured depository. And the examiners tried to make an assessment as to whether the holding company, either from a capital or liquidity perspective, could be a source of strength in the insured depository. But the OTS examiners and the OTS mission, I don't believe, was ever to identify the overall risk profile of the holding company in a comprehensive fashion.
Okay. In your... Let me see if I can find it here. There was... Are you familiar with the change in the rating system in 2007 at the OTS for holding companies?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, can you tell me what that was? What the change
was?
Well,
if I recall, Chris, that we went from, I think, a lettered system to a numerical system. We went from a system that, I don't recall the details now, Chris, seemed a little primitive, and we tried to increase the risk assessment of the holding company.
Okay.
Increase our understanding of the risk assessment of the holding company.
Okay. Well, bear with me for a minute as I find what I'm looking for in your written testimony. Yeah, so I'm looking at, starting on page 8 of your March 2009, where you wrote that OTS's approach to holding company supervision continually evolved. At the time AIG became Savings and Loan Holding Company in 2000, OTS focused primarily on the impact of the holding company enterprise on the subsidiary savings association. But with the passage of Graham Leach Bliley, OTS recognized, you know, that these entities were large and complicated conglomerates, and it changed the way they needed to be supervised, and that it required a more enterprise-wide review of their operations. And that in late 2003, OTS embraced a more enterprise-wide approach, and that that was also consistent with the requirements of the Financial Conglomerates Directive. And because, as you probably recall, OTS became the whatever that's called, the consolidated supervisory regulator under the European Union FCD. So explain to me, and what I'm getting at is, I'm seeing, you know, stuff in your testimony and stuff in both explaining the changes in the 2007 ratings and the requirements of the FCD that I think are somewhat inconsistent with what I'm hearing from you now, and that is that OTS, you know, the approach was supposed to become broader and not just continue to focus on the holding company's impact on the insured institution, but look at, you know, the holding company overall and, you know, the any types of risks, not just within the insured institution, but under any holding company subsidiary or, you know, or of course the holding company itself. Am I just mistaken, or am I missing something here?
Well, I don't think we're saying things that are too far apart. For the OTS to identify whether a holding company can be a source of strength, it needs to understand the financial condition of the holding company. And to understand the financial condition of the holding company, you obviously have to understand the risk profile of the holding company.
Sure.
What I was trying to differentiate, Chris, was when the examiners actually examine various parts of a holding company to identify the risk by transactional review, and when the OTS relies on audited financial statements, internal audit reports, external audit reports, publicly available information to assess the risk profile of the holding company.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to differentiate, and I apologize for the confusion, is the OTS always went in and examined the insured depository. The OTS, I think, attempted to examine any subsidiaries of the savings and loan holding company that offered financial products to the public, to consumers. But there were many parts of holding company subsidiaries that the OTS relied on, internal or external audit reports or 10-Qs or 10-Ks or other things in order to assess the risk profile.
Okay, so let me ask you a little bit about that in terms of the financial products group at AIG. And again, just general, I mean, not specific regulation of it, but just sort of how it was approached. Because again, in this March testimony, you talk about, you know, sort of what you just said, that the OTS, you know, would meet with, you know, functional regulators and, you know, of course, all the various entities that were, you know, the state insurance entities that were regulating all of the state insurance companies in the U.S. and, of course, the foreign insurance regulators that were looking at the foreign insurance operations. But I don't know that there was, or I guess I should just ask you, was there another entity that was regulating the financial products unit besides the OTS?
I think C.K. Lee is going to be in the best position to answer that question. Given the international aspect of FP, I don't recall whether Commission Bancaire in France and whether the FSA in the U.K. had involvement. So I just don't know the answer to that.
Okay. You know, and then let's talk about the actual insurance subsidiaries. I mean, one of the things that, of course, we now know, and of course you knew even earlier, given that it's in your testimony, is, you know, there's all these different state insurance companies, but AIG was using a holding company division, the AIG Investments Group, to manage the securities lending program. I guess I just have a general question. Did you know? No, strike that. Do you know how OTS would go about looking at something, you know, where you've got one entity within the holding company you know, managing a managing funds and a lending business out of multiple, you know, state insured subsidiaries.
So just to be sure I understand, Chris, you're asking that question specifically as it pertains to AIG?
I would assume the answer wouldn't be any different for any other holding company. I'm just sort of asking, when you have a structure like that, when one entity within the holding company is managing an investment program and using funds from multiple state-insured subsidiaries, how does the OTS go about looking at that, whether it's AIG or any other holding company?
So it's going to very much be an issue of, is there a functional regulator who's involved in the security lending business? The state insurance commissioners are absolutely involved in that program. And whether the back office operations are consolidated into an organization or not, there's generally a reliance on the state insurance commissioners to provide us with insight and guidance on security lending programs like you just described.
Okay. And when you say, since you use the term generally there's reliance on the state folks, that obviously implies perhaps in certain circumstances there's not. And what are the what do you mean by generally?
I mean, this gets back to the challenge that I have, Chris, that all this happened a couple years ago, and I was not involved in the supervisions in a day-to-day basis. So, you know, when you're asking AIG specific questions regarding this, I'm not in a position to be able to give you meaningful, accurate information. I just don't know.
Okay. I take it. I know it's probably been a while since you've looked at the written statement you submitted in March of 2009, but I take it everything in there, is, as far as you know, is accurate?
Correct.
Okay. I know personally sometimes you write something and then you look back at it and you go, whoops, you know, I meant to say something different, or at least in a different way. Okay, let me go through my note. I think this might be a fairly short interview given what I've heard so far.
Yeah, and I really apologize, Chris. I said this to Claire. I know how important what your work is, and I've just been removed from things for so long that
there's no need to apologize. You know, we've talked to a lot of people. You know, some people have. We find out we're simply not that involved, you know, and so those interviews end up going shorter. We focus our limited resources on the folks that can help us understand what happened, and that we're
and
those are the people that were involved.
There should be a lot of people at OTS who can really fill in the dots.
Sure. Well, let me do this. You know, let me just, you know, you mentioned in your testimony, you know, some of the lessons learned and some of the shortcomings of the OTS, you know, based on, I guess, what you had done to prepare for that testimony. Other than those areas that you wrote about and testified about in the hearing, any others come to mind?
So I don't recall the specific recommendations I offered, so What I say to you, Chris, may be duplicative. Absolutely, and I'm sure I said this in my testimony, absolutely it would have been prudent for the OTS to have been better prepared to analyze the real estate bubble and have taken action sooner, not just with AIG, but with other entities. But certainly with regards to the credit default swap that were written on the super senior CDOs that were real estate based. On a more general level, I think I said, but I believe it now, that certainly derivatives should be transacted through some sort of central clearinghouse for transparency purposes. I don't recall what other recommendations I may have offered in the testimony, but if you have them, Andy and want to ask me about any of them, I'd be happy to.
Well, I'm more interested in, since we're looking at causes and, you know, candidly looking at, you know, things that happen both, you know, not only at the institution, but that happened at the regulatory agencies. And let me find out what you said there and just see if anything else comes to mind. I know one thing you... Well, let me just find it instead of paraphrasing it. Bear with me. Yeah, so on page 6 of your written testimony, you know, you talk about where the OTS fell short. And one of the areas you mentioned, I think, is somewhat what you talked about in terms of analyzing the housing bubble sooner and taking action. But you wrote, you know, you will also see that where the OTS fell short, as did others, was in the failure to recognize in time the extent of the liquidity risk to AIG of the super senior CDS and AIG FP's portfolio. We focused too narrowly on the perceived creditworthiness of the underlying securities and did not sufficiently assess the susceptibility of highly illiquid complex instruments, both CDS and CDOs, to downgrades in the ratings of the company or the underlying securities, and to declines in the market value of the securities. No one predicted, including OTS, the amount of funds that would be required to meet the collateral calls and cash demands on the credit default swap transactions. In retrospect, if we had identified the absolute magnitude of AIG's CDS exposures as a liquidity risk, we would have requested that AIG FP reduce its exposure to this concentration. So my question is, other than those shortcomings, as you term them, anything else, you know, come to mind now, understanding time has gone by?
No.
Okay. Okay. Let me, you know, one of the things that I've at least seen in the documents that certainly is somewhat of a head scratcher and was apparently a head scratcher for PwC also, and you mentioned part of this in your written testimony, you know, in, you know, late 05, you know, Financial Products decides to, you know, stop writing CDS on subprime CDOs. That's not exactly correct, but that's, I'll shorten it up that way in terms of description. And at the same time, you've got the securities lending business, you know, continuing to take on, you know, continuing to invest in RMBS that are subprime. You know, so you've sort of got one part of the organization deciding to stop taking additional exposure, granted not hedging it or selling it off, and the other part of the organization increasing its subprime exposure. Did you recall, you know, at any time, even in preparing for the March 09 stuff, hearing about that circumstance or having any discussions at OTS about that apparent risk management failing, if nothing else?
Chris, I don't recall any of those conversations. I know in my testimony I mentioned a number of times the risks associated with the security lending business. And that also, the risk there, if I recall it correct, was initially a liquidity risk as their counterparties wanted to end the borrowing relationship, and then obviously the shortfall in collateral contributed to the credit risk. But I think the examiners or C.K. Lee would be much more knowledgeable. I don't recall being briefed on that dichotomy.
Okay. Yeah, and I certainly haven't looked at everything the OTS has produced, but I don't know that I've seen that, you know, either in exam reports or supervisory memos or things like that.
So,
but anyway.
So what I would ask you to maybe consider when you ask your staff to dig into that further, the perfect event for that kind of discussion would have been the supervisory colleges, where I believe the state insurance commissioners were invited, and I believe there was attendance by representatives of at least some of the insurance commissioners' offices. Now, I don't know to what extent CK or her staff kept notes from those meetings. I know there were presentations, mm-hmm. But that may be an area where it was discussed.
Sure. Do you ever recall hearing that any of the state insurance regulators directed AIG to unwind or reduce the securities lending business?
I don't have any knowledge on that.
Okay. Okay. Scott, you know, I think that's probably enough. What I will do is let me look at my notes, and I'll give you a ring, you know, like no later than Monday, if, you know, maybe we can hook up on Wednesday for a short amount of time if I think it's necessary. I don't think I'm going to think it's necessary, but just in case, I will give you a ring. I appreciate your time today and talking to me.
Chris, I have great respect for you and the job that you're doing, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks very much, Scott. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye.
This is Chris.